I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild time.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by the show's very own celebrity. It's Mr. Eric Wayne. Eric, how are things going in your glamorous, star-studded life?
You know, it's a Hollywood lifestyle for me. I spend most of my day signing autographs, fending off paparazzi, and, lounging by a pool.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Getting those beach body shots, you know, they're always all over me, but that's how it works.
Yeah, I was imagining you were body shots of the alcohol variety, but yeah, I suppose photos, too.
Yeah, you know, I... just appearing in Us Weekly a lot, that kind of thing.
I bring the celebrity angle up because I'm pretty sure that I saw Carter Oosterhuis at the Meyer Deli today in TC.
What? So if you're going to grade, like, you have A-list celebrities, then B-list celebrities, where would he rank in the alphabet of celebrities?
I feel like you hear A, B, and D a lot. He's got to be in that C-list. Like,
right.
I mean, he's still actively like on TV and stuff, but I mean, he probably could walk down the streets of most cities and be cool. Obviously, yeah. He has some sort of, I think he might have gone to St. Francis or something. Like, he has TC ties.
He's got a big endorsement deal with a bank here in GR.
Oh, that's Lake right. Michigan. It's Lake Michigan. Yeah. I've seen him on a couple of commercials too.
Mm-hmm.
I usually am the type that like, I'll see, that dude looks like so-and-so, and Whitney will be like, you're nuts. No, it's not him. But she actually told me, like, you know, yeah, that actually probably is him. So I was feeling pretty good about that it was actually true. The big thing is he was wearing cargo shorts, which kind of made me question, like, does somebody who is a celebrity, I mean, I'm putting celebrity in air quotes here, celebrity wear cargo shorts? I don't know.
Why does everybody dog on cargo shorts? Just because, like, it's a dad thing and they're not stylish.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that
would... I don't, because of the reputation of said shorts. Because I'm like, oh, I can't wear those. People might, you know, not like me. That'd be bad.
that would be really bad. Yeah. And it made me wonder, like, do you think somebody of his status should have, like, somebody going to fetch their cold cuts for them? Like, of all of the life tasks, going to a grocery store deli and dealing with the hermits that live in the grocery store deli... that's something that I would be okay with just cutting out completely. You got to have like a cold cut lackey or something, no?
An intern to fetch that for you. I think you need to be at least an A-list celebrity to have lackeys.
Okay.
You know, people like to do things for themselves too. I mean,
do they?
Just because you could afford somebody to do something for you doesn't mean you might not enjoy doing it yourself.
Nobody enjoys going to the deli, though. Let's be honest. And nobody enjoys going to Meijer in general. He can afford shipped, for sure. I mean,
yeah,
if nothing
that,
else.
That's true. That's true. So, pulling down that sweet Lake Michigan credit union money.
That sweet, sweet money. If you could have a lackey that you could get him to do just one thing for you, what would you have them do?
That's a good question. Probably go to Meijer and go get my groceries.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a pretty good one.
I've actually discussed
maybe
the whole
do
shipped.
All my work for me.
Do that'd all your great. Work.
Yeah.
I feel like you're stretching the job description of a lackey
oh,
a little bit
fine,
too much with that.
Fine.
I don't know. Maybe not. I would have.
How about you? What? Yeah,
I'd have them audio edit the show for us, so we could just do it, and then they would take care of all the rest.
My favorite part, the hall is like we'll record, and it's like an hour long show, and then after we record, you have it out sometimes in like 15-20 minutes, sometimes, and I'm like, yeah, he's not listening to the whole thing.
Oh no, absolutely not.
Just find the little clips and throw it together.
Yeah, I throw in Blaine, I throw in your mom, and it's good to go. Yeah.
We need to upgrade our bumps, dude. Speaking of celebrities, we need more celebrity bumps.
How do you suppose that we go about doing this? I'm all for the idea. I don't have any plan for execution. Well,
the trick is just to expand the definition of celebrity. Okay. Until you get somebody.
All right. What I've thought a couple times is, you know how you can find like on YouTube all the I'm so and so and you're listening to 97.5. We just cut out the 97.5 and have like a bunch of them. I'm Miguel Cabrera. I'm Justin Verlander. And then at the end we have Blaine.
Podcastianos. Exactly. Then I'll just add that at the end. That's great.
Yeah. So if we have any I say this as somebody who edits audio for the show. If you have any audio editing wizards out there, make us one of those. Put in as famous of people as you can. Anyway, let's get back to the serious business. It brings us to this week's leadoff question. Who is the most famous person you've seen out and about?
Well, I met Phil Koch. That was fun. I was at a Tigers game and going through the D shop, and all of a sudden there was Stan Van Gundy.
That's a good one.
In the D shop. So, and everybody was kind of, you know, crowding around him and wanting photos. I'm not much of a chaser. I just kind of took in the scene. I don't need to meet Stan Van Gundy. It's fine. I see him on TV. That's enough.
Plus it's Stan Van Gundy. Like, I don't know that I'd go in for a pick there either.
Yeah.
He's like the very most bottom level as far as like boring people. Don't tell Stan I said that.
Right. I've met Kirk Cousins. I mean, probably before he was really, truly famous, like, but I've met him a couple times, but that's about it for celebrities for me. Right. Mrs. Wayne has met Bono or seen Bono.
Really?
That's an A-lister.
Like 10 times higher on the list than anyone you have.
She traveled a lot, Marcia. I think it was in Boston.
All right. That's a real good one. I mean, don't get me wrong. Guess. I don't like you two in the slightest, but I mean, you can't knock Bono.
That's an A-plus lister right there.
So I told you when I met Chick-fil-A or Chris Archer and Chick-fil-A, right?
Right. Yeah. Your awkward conversation.
It wasn't awkward. Wasn't awkward. I just lied to him. I mean, that's what fine. It comes down to.
Yeah.
So where my parents have a place down in Florida is actually in a it's a park that's just down the road from the Rays. And one time we saw Kyle Farnsworth walking his dog around the park shirtless. He had a motorhome that was in the park.
What kind of dog does the Farns have?
It was like
little yippy dog, I bet.
Oh no, it was a ginormous dog. I want to say like maybe a boxer.
Okay.
I mean it was a substantially sized dog, as you would imagine from Kyle Farnsworth.
Yeah.
I would imagine the second he leaves any sort of like professional obligation, shirt pops right off.
Right
down. But probably the biggest one is when I was out with one of my friends who's every time I go somewhere with him, we see someone famous. But we saw Ryan Sheckler downtown Chicago at Giordano's, who's a skateboarder. I don't know.
The young people. Yeah. Oh, sure. Throw me under the bus, Hall. Young people would know him. I see how it is.
He was on a show on MTV. I didn't watch it, but other people did. Yeah. So I saw him at Giordano's. We essentially ate pizza together.
Youths. youths.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And one more announcement. I'm running a 50 Jelly Bean, so to speak, fantasy football league. 12 teams, still have a few spots to fill. Not show related, just playing with your boy. If you're interested, slide into the old DMs and I'll send you the invite. Eric, I'm assuming you are not interested.
Maybe if you doubled it and paid me $100, jelly beans, but probably not if you just
I don't know that you're understanding exactly how this fantasy thing works. They will be paying me, not vice versa.
Well, then definitely no.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Giannos.
ESPN 30 for 30 announcer voice. What if I told you the Tigers had a chance to face the Oakland A's for three straight and face Brett Anderson, Edwin Jackson, and Trevor Cahill? What if I told you they could only scratch out one run in that series across 31 innings? Now, what if I told you that wraps up a season series with Oakland having dropped all seven games?
Ouch. Is that true?
It is true.
I looked at the games and I added it up. A person could have decided to watch eight, if they could have watched 8 hours and 43 minutes of Detroit Tigers baseball, and they would have witnessed one Tigers run being scored. Almost 9 hours before, by the time you add in the last game and little, you could have watched 9 hours of Tigers baseball and saw Candelario knock in that one run, and that is it.
Not to mention the fact that you had to stay up until the middle of the night to watch all of those hours of Tigers baseball.
I mean, this is an entertainment product, right?
I mean, like, in air quotes here.
we're among the top of the list people who love the Tigers. They are beloved. They occupy a space in our hearts and minds that other people don't have. And we love. I have affection, but it was kind of like this is not good. This is a bad product right now.
Yes, I feel like one might say it was miserable. That's the word I have down in my notes. Is this growing pains, or do you think there's actually something a little more going on here?
What hitters do we have that are above league average?
None. Oh, Castellanos.
Nick Castellanos.
Nicky is well above league average.
Miguel Cabrera, but for first baseman, he's, you know, a little above league average for first baseman. At every other position at the plate, we're not good.
But still, we're not this bad. I mean, and obviously this is
true.
You know, taking things out of context, because we just, you know, won two in a row against the Reds. Which broke your streak, by the way. I was sorry about that one.
The alternating. Yeah. You see what Martin hit two bombs for Cleveland already?
Yes, but truly, it doesn't matter if Martin hits two bombs for Cleveland or two bombs for us. We still drop every single one of those games this weekend and score three runs across three games or one. I mean, I don't know.
It's not – the pitching has been – good. I mean, the pitching's been reasonable and exciting to watch, but when you have in the back of your mind, like, this team is not going to scratch together any wins to make, or excuse me, any runs to make this interesting, it just makes it unfun.
Yeah, and to be fair, I would say for the first two-thirds of the season, we probably overachieved in a substantial way.
Yes.
We are now, you know, regressing to the mean as far as what could have been expected from this team to begin with. And obviously, when that's the case, you're going to have out of the ordinarily bad results to compensate for how good they possibly were. Yep. And we came into the season expecting to have Miguel Cabrera in the lineup. We're finally starting to feel the effects of that, I would say. And
so we, like you said, we started out pretty hot and pretty good. Given that, with that in mind, I got some questions for you. OPS, on base plus slugging, it's a good measurement of hitting. In the American League, there's 15 teams. Where do you think we rank in OPS coming into today's game?
I'd say 13th.
14th.
14th. Royals.
Second to last, Kansas City is worse. How about runs scored?
I mean, we got to be 12th.
14th as well.
Oh.
Only second worst, only to Kansas City. How about home runs hit?
We have to be dead last in homers.
We are dead last in the American
League. It is shocking how little power we have as a club.
No power. We are the second worst offense in the American League. Now, at the pitching level, we're league average in almost all the pitching stats. that's bullpen and starters now. And you know how bad some of the middle relief has been for us. So our starting pitching has been really good, actually. And our starting our pitching overall is league average. Mm-hmm. But the offense is woeful.
Yeah, it's the karmic retribution for all those years when we had
sluggers.
Yeah, all those sluggers. And obviously we had some rotations to go with, too. But the thing I was noticing, Nico hit third or fourth.
Yeah,
third or fourth in every game this week. Like, I love Nico. I was on him from the first second I saw him swing a bat. And he wouldn't hit third or fourth on most AAA teams. Like, he is not that profile.
Coming into this season with his time in Minnesota, I believe he struck out 9 out of his first 15 at-bats with the Royals. With the Twins. And then he was coming into this year, and I'm like, if you would have told me, oh yeah, for a good portion of the season, he's going to be hitting third for you, I would have said, collect my tears in this bucket, because that is pitiful. And I'm not quite there, but it's pretty sad.
It's not good.
I love Nico, but
yeah, exactly. Nico is a fun player. He has some attributes to him that none of the other players on the team have, like being exciting. But yes,
imagine what kind of utility player, late bat off the bench, he'd be for a good team.
Yeah,
he could
be useful.
He'd make a World Series team for sure as a utility guy.
Yeah, he is. Romine minus defensive ability and plus offensive ability, and he's faster. Just broke down all of their traits in two sentences.
But we can save people a lot of scouting if they just listen to the old podcast.
So they've been terrible. They were good against the Reds. Mike Fiers got hit by a pitch, and Drew Verhagen came in and diced. I mean, that pretty much sums up our last week. No, I mean,
Drew's been better.
Drew has been good. I mean, I don't want to
stick for the long enough.
I don't want to jump back in, but I mean, truly, I was never out. Let's be honest. I still think there's something there. I will say that until I die.
Fly that flag with pride, man.
I am the only one flying it, so I suppose I'll fly it proud. Let's move on to the trade deadline. Only one move: Leonis Martin, as previously mentioned, goes to the Indians for shortstop Willy Castro, who I believe was their 8th best prospect. And MLB Pipeline currently lists him as our 10th. He has got off to a flying start. According to Zeke Jennings, who can be found on Twitter, at Zeke Jennings, new hashtag Tiger shortstop Willy Castro is 7-for-19 with 5 extra base hits at Erie since the trade with Cleveland on the 31st, which that's pretty, hashtag good.
Yeah, good job. That was a solid trade. Now, I mean, there's a few blemishes in his game, Willie's game. I mean, but he was kind of still a strong prospect to get for Martin.
Yeah, I mean, we're clearly not the first ones to say this, but we weren't trading Leonis Martin for a prospect who didn't have some sort of blemishes in his game. We weren't getting obviously a top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guy in somebody's system, unless it was Red Sox system, because Dombrowski's already made that thing barren.
Right.
But,
and it's a middle infielder, right? Which we've
talked about
needed some help.
Go find somebody kind of in that the middle range of the minor leagues and just start putting some people there. Yeah. Emily tweeted that a lot of the scouts she's been talking to think that we did very, very well with the list of players that we had available for him. I mean, there's only so much you can do. And
since he did such a good job there, tell me, Hall, educate me. Why haven't we traded some of our other pieces? Shouldn't we be getting awesome minor leaguers for them as well?
Well, the line is that there was no interest. I mean, that was what was coming out from the beat writers after the deadline. Are you buying that?
Mostly, yes. Okay, so there was a little kerfuffle with Fiers to Oakland. And Fennec kind of stubbed his toe on a premature report, shall we say.
It happens.
But I think the word on the street afterwards from some of the A's people was, they kind of had some interest in Fiers and would probably give up, some single A pitcher for him or something like that. But I mean, if you're the Tigers, is it hardly worth, is it worth even doing if you can't get somebody decent,
yeah, especially
you,
or with
get it, some money? I mean,
especially with that, another year of control. I mean, if they would have, if they would have sent some international bonus pool money our way, then I would have been interested in that.
Sweet, sweet bonus pool money.
But the thing is it's not out of the realm of possibility that he still goes. I mean, he could pass through waivers quite easily. I mean, not to wish ill on anyone, but what we really need is an injury in the rotation for a contender, which we may have gotten with Lance McCullers going on the DL. It worked well for them once. Do it again.
Yeah, right. So Fiers is a fascinating case because, yeah, he a team has control of him next year, but he's making like $6 million, I believe. So, I mean, would you non-tender him? I mean, if the A's were concerned about his salary next year, they could always non-tender.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's but the Tigers could really use him next year. I mean, we could use another piece.
I feel like I've gone on and on about this, but Mike Fier, like, he is going through a really strong patch right now. But Mike Fiers is not an above-average major league pitcher. We needed to move him before he goes back to being Mike. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm very appreciative of what he's done for us. He's been way better than any of us expected. But he is definitely pitching above his skill set. I would love to see him go before he, you know, turns back into the proverbial pumpkin. But that's just me.
Yeah. He's a fascinating case. I mean, there was nobody else really. Well, Liriano.
Yeah.
I mean,
Liriano could. I mean, that was why we signed him. I mean, we said at the beginning of the year, if we can't move him at the deadline, the experiment will have been a failure. I mean, it's not looking great, but he could still go also. You know,
yeah, maybe
there's still some time before the other deadline. I would say one of the two of them at least goes, probably
could
Fire.
Be. Iglesias, do you want to talk about Iglesias?
I do. Let's
now or later.
Just a sec. I have one more question for you. What's your all-time favorite deadline deal trade?
Oh man, that was a good question. Okay, so there's different levels of this. Like, the one that I hung on the most and was probably most excited about, like, I still remember where I was. It was when we got David Price. I thought that was so exciting and so, like, at the time, David Price was a beast, was an absolute beast. And I thought, like, this is going to be it, you know? It didn't quite work out that way.
I blacked out for that part.
As far as in retrospect, another favorite trade of mine was when we got Polanco for Urbina. You did two things there. You got a really solid piece, a great player, a fun guy, a good contributor for an awesome team, and you got rid of arsonist Ugarte Urbina.
Yeah. And murderer, right?
Yeah, he tried to kill a guy with fire.
Oh, attempted murderer. Okay, my apologies, Ugi.
That was it.
So the execution was the problem, not the plan.
Or, so to speak. Yes.
So to speak.
So obviously, I mean, the big one was Cabrera. But everybody forgets Dontrell Willis came over in that. So as clear as Dombrowski's vision was to get Cabrera, the Dontrell thing, who immediately got a big contract, did not work out so well.
To be fair, had he kept pitching at the level he was at, can you imagine getting an ace Dontrell and Miggy? I mean,
yeah,
you can only go with the information you have at the time. That's what I'll say for Dave.
But and how is Dave supposed to know? Like, Dontrell Willis would completely lose the ability to throw strikes.
Yeah, I mean,
like the wheels.
How many other people have Ann Keeled like that? I mean, it's pretty much just the two of them.
Wow. Yeah. That was so hard to watch. I watched one time, I think it was Dontrell threw 10 balls in a row, walked a guy on 4 pitches, walked a guy on 4 pitches, and the next 2 pitches were also balls. And I was just like,
was
oh
that at
God.
Comerica? I might have been there for that.
Could
game.
Be. Could be. Yeah.
Anyway, so my favorite one wasn't a deadline deal. It was in the winter sometime, but it was the Fister for Robbie Ray, Kroll, and Lombardozzi. My dad, I think, texted me that it happened. I was like, all right, I kind of like Robbie Ray. I'd done a little read on him prior, and Fister was, you know, kind of getting on. I'm like, all right, I like it. Then I go.
You like that trade? You're like the only person who liked that trade. Everybody.
Oh, for sure. I went to Twitter, and my phone literally just engulfed with flames from the hatred that I saw. Yeah, I mean,
everybody hated that deal.
It turned out to. I mean, had we kept Robbie Ray, that would have been a great deal. Like,
it would have been.
The return was good. We just cashed him in a little too early. To be fair, he was terrible in the Tigers uniform.
And the fans hated him because they loved Pfister. Like, so he was like,
Pfister was a fan favorite. I mean, dude was good for us.
So Robbie Ray was like tainted merchandise. I almost felt like the front office, like, well, let's just move him on. Maybe Green is good or as good or better.
I definitely think there was a bit to it of that. Okay, let's move on to Iggy. This is what I wanted to talk about. Evan Woodbury, our buddy, wrote a piece this week talking about how he leads the American League in the analytical portion of what decides the Gold Glove winner. Incredibly busy trade deadline, and there was no hint of interest in him whatsoever. What do you make of this? Like, I was looking at it. He leads the team, not the hitters, the team in wins above replacement. Admittedly, it's not like a huge accomplishment this season, but I mean, he leads the team in steals. And you remember when he was hitting like 069, he's up to 270 on the year. Why does nobody want him?
I'll tell you why nobody wants him. He's got an elite glove, shall we say. He's near the top and for sure the metrics and other things. He's got an elite glove, but he does not have an elite bat for a shortstop. Yep. He's got maybe average, a little below average. The problem is, the perception anyway, is the space between an elite glove and an average glove is smaller than the spread between an elite bat at shortstop and an average bat at shortstop. And I think that marginal gain for getting an elite bat at shortstop is where the money is. Because for a thought experiment, imagine Dixon Machado, imagine, pick your favorite mediocre shortstop. These guys all can catch it at short, right?
Yep.
And so they don't give you a lot of bat. Like, you can find glove first shortstops everywhere. You could bring up Alcantara right now for us, and his glove would play at the major league level, right?
Yep.
So you can find those guys. The big money and the desire is the shortstops who can hit.
Yeah.
And with some power.
Yeah, I was doing some research. By that, I mean I looked at his baseball reference page. He has 363 at-bats this year, 35 extra base hits. Like, that is paltry. And probably even more concerning, 15 walks in 363 at-bats. Like, yeah, clearly—
In the modern game, that doesn't make as much sense.
No. I think that the question is what do you do next year? Like— We have a void. All of our shortstop prospects are at Erie. Like, we have nothing at Toledo, so we're still a year away from any sort of impact. Do you stick with a guy like Nico or Ronnie Rod, someone like that? Or do you find a similar level? Somebody else is essentially Jose Iglesias, somebody that we haven't had in town before. Or do you try and bring him back at a rock-bottom price? I mean, those are essentially the three options.
Well, I think you look at his price, right? I mean, if it's like the trade deadline and he does not have many suitors, I think you could sign him for a reasonable 2 or 3 year deal, couldn't you?
Yeah, do you want him for a 2 or 3 year deal?
I mean, is it going to be less than that? I mean, that would be a pretty light market.
He's not going to have a whole lot in the way of suitors out there. You might be able to sign him as—
Bring him back on a 1 year deal, you think?
1 year deal? I mean—
Oh, for sure that I would. There's no bad one-year deals.
I mean, that's definitely true.
There's no bad one-year deals is the trope. But somebody's going to pick him up for a couple, 3 years, won't they? Maybe not.
I don't know.
If we'll see. Can't trade him. I mean, now, I'm assuming his price is reasonable now. Now, he's getting towards the end of his arbitration time. I mean, he's getting paid pretty handsomely with the Tigers now. I mean, is he going to get a pay cut? I don't know what his number is, but it's got
to
be—
I can't
close.
Imagine he's going to stay at the level he's at. I mean, he's been okay this year, but he hasn't been—
I mean, was he— I should have, like, looked at you know, numbers and facts before I talked about it. But like, I'm trying to remember if he was really a non-tender candidate last year. I don't think so. I think he was reasonable enough yet. I don't know. I don't remember.
Enough baseball. Let's move on to the other sport we like. I'm sure nobody will want to hear this other than three or four. But the Premier League starts on Friday. My club, Manchester United, kicks things off on Friday. I believe it's 3 o'clock. I'll be watching that off the DVR.
Ooh.
But anyway, I thought we should preview it a little bit. Just some quick hot takes. Top four, leading scorer. Who do you think's going to win it all?
And you're going to have to hold my hand through this haul. You got Salah. I mean, ran away with it last year, right?
He did. So we're starting with leading scorer?
So probably him.
All right.
Again, why not?
I'm going to go with Lukaku. And it's not just a United bias. Dude was all over the place in the World Cup. He's in form. I think Big Rom could get to 30 in the league this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, signing of the season. Do you have one?
No.
All right.
Fulham got Mitro. That's about all I know.
I very well think that could be the signing of their. They already had him on for half the year, so I don't know if that exactly counts.
Yeah, he scored a lot of goals for them.
Okay, who do you think are going to finish in the top four? And the big question is why.
Okay, so the Manchester pair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Liverpool, I guess. And then I don't know. Tottenham.
So the same four as last year.
I does that sound reasonable?
Oh, definitely.
That would be my guess. Sure.
So who wins it?
City, dude. City is so good.
How do you think Newcastle finishes this year?
Man, if they could match their finish from last year, I'd be tickled pink. And they finished 10th. So I think they'll finish right. I'm hoping they'll finish right there again. So, 11th, 12th, someplace in there. I'm hoping for.
All right. So here
they got Kennedy. They got Kennedy on a loan deal, and he was such a huge part of them. And they're going to have him for a whole season. I think Kennedy is a huge help.
And you brought back that keeper that was really good last year too, right?
Yeah, Dubrovsky or whatever his name is.
Sure.
Martin, yeah, I forget his name.
I love it when guys like that have first names like Martin.
Yeah, yeah. But he's really good. And I think we're closing the deal on this Rondon.
No, Solomon Rondon from West Brom.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's mine. I'll just go quick. Liverpool, I think, is going to win it all. I know City is obviously the bookie's favorite, but I would hate to see Liverpool win it. Don't get me wrong. But they're just so strong up front, and they fixed the defense a little bit with Van Dijk coming in last January. The midfield's good. I don't know. I think they could very well do it. I also have City, Spurs, and United, of course, in my top four. I'm super excited for the season to start. I am not excited in the slightest for the United portion of the season to start. We're going to be so dull again. I do have a couple hot takes for you. Newcastle, I think, is going to go down. No offense.
They're not going down.
Dude, they're such a mess. They're such a mess.
They could. We need a couple more guys, for sure.
November 1st, is Rafa still the manager?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Rafa, I mean, if they haven't chased him off by now,
That's true. That's a good point.
He's shown some heart.
Let's see. Two more. Fulham, I think they finish in the top half and they push for Europe. They're probably going to be the team that everyone jumps on the bandwagon for. And I think Harry Kane doesn't reach double figures goals in the league. That is the hottest take that I could possibly have come up with for this one.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Good.
All right. Are you ready to rant about something?
Yeah. My beef of the week here, I just hinted at this a little bit before our podcast started. And then I'm experiencing some lower GI activity.
Oh, so we're going here. Okay, cool.
A little bit of Montezuma's revenge going on. You know, I'm not going to lay out any details, but I'm experiencing that. And also, I was in a gas station restroom in Wayland, Michigan is south of Grand Rapids. Anyway, and I went to this gas station expecting a gas station bathroom, and it was like the nicest bathroom I've ever been in for a gas station. Not the nicest one ever, but for a gas station, it was really nice.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, like, why do public restrooms have to be so awful? And I've heard this is a uniquely American thing. Like in Japan and other places in the world, public restrooms are really quite nice. But here in America, I mean, you have these, steel partitions, right? And maybe the little latch works, maybe not. And there's the gap, you know, so you're looking out and you can see through the little gap while you're using the facilities there. That's not very private or nice. Why can't you just have like a nice little enclosure with a door, and so you can use the restroom in some peace? And you know, public restrooms inevitably have the worst toilet paper ever. It's always awful,
abysmal. Yep.
It's industrial, and you know, nobody wants that. So just like we're America, we're a good place, we're a leader in the world. Why can't we have better restrooms? That's my beef for the week.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've never thought about it that closely. I can't say it comes up, but that's a really good point.
Thank you, Jordan.
All right, let's move on to things that I saw on the side of the road while running. And I actually saw this one a couple of weeks ago, but it was maybe when Emily and Hook, or I don't know, one of the weeks you were off, and I'm like, you know what? Nope, I'm saving this story for when Eric comes back because he'll appreciate this. So I was running through this neighborhood. I would say it's a little bit more of a ritzy neighborhood. It's, there's some nicer hoods around where I live. Not mine, but where other people live.
Let's get that cherry money going in there. Yeah,
definitely for sure. The cherry money. So I'm running up and I see, like, out of the corner of my eye, like something almost like darts. And I'm like, bear. It wasn't a bear. It was. The best way I could describe it was like a yard Roomba. It was a little circle Roomba-looking dude that was going back and forth cutting their grass. Did you know there's, like, grass-cutting robots out there?
I guess conceptually I did, but I've never really experienced one. I've seen remote control ones, like big industrial remote control lawnmowers, but never, like, a Roomba one.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't anyone outside. I mean, I guess they could have been outside, inside with their remote control. But, I mean, it was doing a pretty decent job. I have to admit, it looks nicer than when I cut our grass out front.
Well, it should. It's a robot. It's computer programmed. The line should be straight.
I'll tell you what, my yard would look impeccable if I had a robot to do all of my yard work.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
That's impressive. That's that Traverse City cherry money up there. You just get yard buzz all going all over.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Bring that thing to my house. All right.
Maybe it was Carter's.
Maybe. I'm guessing Carter probably has some property on some lake somewhere. Let's be honest. We have a few of them. I'm sure he can probably manage. All right, let's move on to Twitter questions.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
The first one comes, before I do that, if you want to get in touch with the show, I am at JordanHall23, Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And if you want to get in touch with us the old-fashioned way, podcastianos@gmail.com. Which is funny that I say that that's the old-fashioned way, because when you were a kid, people had to like put stamps on letters, no?
Yes. I learned how to write in school with a pen and stuff.
It's much
cursive.
Quicker.
I learned I learned cursive in school. Did you learn cursive in school?
Yeah, and I actually still write majority in cursive, I would say.
Doesn't surprise me for me.
Just really? No, I'm a man's man. It's just one of my little quirks. All right.
You take pride in your penmanship?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have very good penmanship. Whitney would tell you that.
Penmanship.
All right. Dave DeWitt asks us, grocery store use scans, hate them, love them, discuss.
You know, after being in Guatemala and being in the Upper Peninsula, you know, you realize that the ratio of the cost of capital to the ratio to the cost of labor, and you just see like in more urban areas, like the cost of capital is cheaper than labor. And so you get these like kiosks and stuff everywhere. But I really miss kind of the personal touch of like interacting with a human. I really do. No, don't give me that face. Like, I would prefer.
You would.
If the line wasn't crazy long, I'd like a person to, you know, scan my groceries and help me check out. But the expediency and the ease makes the use scans fine.
Yes.
Because the lines are shorter.
If I have the choice between talking with somebody or not talking with somebody, 100% of the time I'm going to pick to not talk with them.
Oh, you're such a hermit. Stop.
The problem with that is you have to wait for the light to go from red back to green before you can scan your next thing. And heaven forbid you don't wait and, yeah. You know, you try
unexpected
and scan something.
Unexpected item in the bagging area.
Oh, my gosh.
Unexpected item in the bagging area.
That's... Yeah, that is my – I don't know which is worse, you know, having to deal with a robot like that or having to deal with a person, you know. The one that drives me nuts is when you're at Sam's. I don't know if this – do you have a Sam's membership?
My Sam's is called Costco, but yes.
Anyway, so at Sam's, they have the, you know, the U-checks, and they'll have – they got probably 5 or 10 of them in Traverse City, and you'll be scanning, and the like, attendant is just hovering over you. Like, I'm familiar with what I'm – like, if I need help, I'll come to you. But I don't need you, like, looking over my shoulder as I'm scanning my 6 items, all of which are chocolate chips. Like, just leave me alone. It's like the gas station attendant. Like, do you think I don't know how to, like, pump gas and put in the credit card? I've done this before.
See, I'm experiencing the opposite issue. Like, I miss kind of a person around to kind of help you, a little bit of the human touch, a little smile now and then. Come on.
That's what Twitter's for. That's a joke. The next one comes in from our buddy Keenan at Tiger_Lifer. What are your respective best 5K times?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Maybe 28 minutes, something like that.
I actually
that's about right.
I use the Nike running app, so I was actually able to look it up. The best time I had is 21 minutes and 53 seconds. So there is a very specific answer to your question.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 30, like a half hour. I don't know, something like
that's
that.
10 minute miles. You could walk a 5K in.
Did
minutes.
I stutter, Hall? Yeah. Okay. No. So maybe it was. It's somewhere. You know, I'm thinking like 8.5, 9 minute miles. I think at one point I was able to do.
You were like, able.
There was a time when I ran a little bit, and I could run the whole thing.
Seven to eight minute miles. I bet you could do that when you were a kid.
You don't even remember. You don't even know or remember. Like for a lot of people, like to run 3.1 miles,
something like that.
To run a 5K all the way through. I mean, that's an achievement for a lot of folks, I would say.
When you were a kid and when you were running, did they have shoes or did you just like run barefoot?
Oh, sure. Make fun of the old fat kid. See how it is.
There was no fat joke in there. I mean, I could have gone that direction if you wanted. No, that was just old.
You just hate the pores. I see how it is. No
that
shoes.
Was no poor joke either. That was just an old joke. Jeremy Troya, at Jeremy_Troya, asks, why don't the Tigers ever play good on their West Coast trips? With the Angels coming up, it reminds me that they never win in Anaheim against the Angels.
Good.
The Angels.
I think the time difference has a big thing to do with it. Do you ever, I mean, when I travel, I just get a little out of sorts.
Yeah, I was... I'm sure that I didn't read this. I'm sure it was said to me in a podcast. But there's an NFL stat about East Coast teams going west for 1 o'clock games, and they have terrible records. Like there's like hard data to back it up. Yeah,
some teams are hiring sleep scientists. Did you hear about this?
No,
I think the Tigers may even have one.
We have one, really?
It's like maybe not on staff full time, but I think they have like a consultant. I mean, coaching them up and sleeping and stuff.
It is super important. I mean, I wasn't dismissive of that. I'm surprised that we as a club already have one. That was more my pessimism. Yeah, I think it's a lot to do with that. And, you know, it's just guys that we're not as familiar with. I mean, I don't think the Tigers are staying up and watching too many West Coast games when as opposed to seeing East Coast. Like, I mean, they're more familiar with some of the players on the East Coast, as are all fans everywhere.
And generally, they've been pretty decent teams, right? Yeah. I mean, so that makes a big difference.
True. At David Cook 1959 says, when our broadcasters say V-Mart has a 300-plus average against any team or pitcher, should they be required to add past performance does not guarantee future results?
Just like your stockbroker in the prospectus. Maybe they should.
I mean, it couldn't hurt.
Couldn't hurt.
Our buddy Jed from across the pond, who I'm sure he has an opinion on my Liverpool prediction. What's more likely to happen first, 5 Victor Reyes major league home runs or 25 Dowell Lugo major league walks?
Oh, how do you pick?
I think there is a legitimate chance that we don't see either of those.
Lugo, I don't think so either. Lugo is not only not good at walking, he's starting to slip down some of these prospect lists, and it's because some of his performances altogether have been not so much good.
My initial thought on that is he will have to get the chance to get 25 walks.
Yeah.
But Iglesias has 15 walks over the course of 2/3 of a season this year, playing every single day. Like, I legitimately
I'm taking Reyes, yeah.
But Victor Reyes isn't hitting 5 major league home runs either. I would say...
Given those options, though, I'm taking Reyes.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I'd say smart money says that neither of those actually happen. Nicholas Haller asked, how likely will our boy Blaine Hardy be to make the rotation out of spring training next year?
I don't know. His numbers are getting beyond fluke levels, though. Mm-hmm. He's getting some innings in. Tokars, who's my bro, who I have a love-hate relationship with. Love you, Tokars. He wrote a little bit about Hardy, and if he keeps his home rate or his home run rate down, he's probably, he's a starter for this club and should be. He had a no-hitter through what? 7, 6?
Something like
he's looking strong.
I mean, obviously, we come at this from a very biased point of view. But, I mean, how do you take that out of the rotation? I have a hard time computing a scenario in my mind that has him be one of the 5 starters that break camp next year, just based on reputation, pedigree, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, if you're looking at the organization and you're picking the 5 best guys to start games to start the year, as of right now, there is no doubt that he is in that group.
For sure.
So, hope that answers the question. Anthony Troy asked, why do we drive on parkways and park in driveways?
Don't know.
Really? I figured you of all people would have something deep to say about that one.
No.
All right.
Although, who calls a highway a parkway? The only parkway that I really know about is Parkway Tropics, which is a strip club here in Grand Rapids. That's about, where else are you finding parkways?
We have a parkway in town, Bayfront Park.
Do you?
Yeah, it's one of the names for 31.
I'm just saying it's a rare name for a street. So, you know, people get out of bent out of shape about it, but and not everybody.
To be fair, I don't know that anyone is actually getting bent out of shape about this.
Hey, it's my straw man. Let me build them how I want to. Also, a driveway is for driving on. Yes, you may park your car there, but it's really an approachway to your garage. You do drive on a driveway.
We don't all have garages. Stop making fun of the poor.
Who's hanging out with people with yard buzz all day? Come on.
Hookslide, everybody at Hookslide 23 asked, if I ship 5 bottles of different syrups to Jordan, will he do a live blind taste test to see if he can identify the Mrs. Buttersworth? So you're asking if I will eat free sugary food that you send to me? Yes, I will. I will do that. That is something that can be arranged.
There is zero chance you're pulling out Mrs. Buttersworth.
This is something that we discussed over the internet this past week. Something about Mrs. Buttersworth apparently is very distinctive, which I didn't know. But I told him this, but and I'm sure you will make fun of for how much of a millennial I am. But Whitney and I have a local syrup maker that we like. They have like a coffee bean vanilla syrup. We get it up in Charlevoix.
Oh, it's an artisanal syrup, handcrafted, tapped from hand massage maple trees. I see.
Yeah, you do see.
Eat it with a tiny silver fork.
No, I eat it on breakfast pastries, just like everyone else.
You eat your syrup on breakfast pastries. Not like a pancake or a flapjack.
Is that not what pancakes are called? Breakfast pastries? Breakfast starches? Is that better?
I don't know. I'm just busting your balls, all.
I'm aware. Brandon Kerr at SFH Commish. That is very hard to say. Says, how would you try jalapeno juice? Sip it, shoot it, or in your coffee or favorite adult beverage?
I kind of wasn't paying attention, but I saw Gibson on the broadcast sipping something. So maybe they were talking about jalapeno juice.
Gotcha. I typically I watch a lot of the time with the volume off until Johnny comes on, obviously.
So this must have been a thing. I would say jalapeno juice would probably be best with tequila, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't have a ton in the way of drinking experience, so you're kind of on your own.
Yeah, sorry. But not in coffee.
No, definitely not in coffee. I'd rather just drink it straight.
To tie this together, I have a good or shameful story. We're up in the UP, and I like my coffee with cream and sugar. Well, we ran out of sugar. So what did we have that was, like, sweet, and so I can add to my coffee? No, syrup. Dates.
Dates are sweet.
No. So I just hit it with I think it was Mrs. Buttersworth. So cream, boom, Mrs. Buttersworth, put in my coffee. It's fine.
Did it work
out? I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's corn syrup, right? It's nothing but that and, you know, the suggestion of maple trees. That's all it is.
It's probably true. Evan,
would you drink maple LaCroix? That'd be good.
Oh, no. I feel like this is one of my the hot takes that I haven't gotten out yet. LaCroix is terrible. I have no idea how people like LaCroix.
Back down. I like a nice LaCroix. I like
LaCroix is like
LaCroix.
Getting punched in the face with basicness. Like, that is all LaCroix is.
Okay, artisanal syrup boy. What else we got?
Evan Kennedy. We're moving on. Why doesn't at MLBN Fox do pick the stick like at Fox Sports Detroit? I'd be very entertained if Joe Buck, Smoltz, and Ken Rosenthal were to do it.
Would you though, really, dude? Pick the stick.
Here's the thing with the pick the stick thing. Joe Buck, Ken Rosenthal, et cetera, they don't really know a ton about the very specific players that they're calling a game for unless they're Yankees or Red Sox. Like, they don't know anything about any of the other teams. Those are the two teams that they know. So it would just be guesses. They would just be picking the three most famous players on the team.
If pick the stick went away the next game, would you mourn it?
I would not.
Would you mourn the departure?
It's played at this point. I think that's pretty, like, it was fun, but we're pushing 2 years now.
It's a little too much because there's like 6 selections and then there's the scoring system and I'm starting to not feel it.
I'd agree with that. Okay, last one. Michael Litzner asked, at Litzner asked, how many different ballparks have you been to, either to see a game or on tour?
I feel like you're going to kick my butt in this one. I've been to Comerica Guaranteed Rate, is it called now? Mm-hmm. I've been to Wrigley. I've been to the Trop. And I've been to Arizona.
Really? That's random.
Yeah, we were there for spring break one year. I think it was one of these kind of the last. No, I think that was for a major league game, or it was maybe one of these like last spring training games that they play in their home park. That's what I did for the Trop, and I think for Arizona too. It was Bank One Ballpark at the time. I don't even know what it's called.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I was really impressed with that place. I thought that was cool. But those are all of them I've been to.
All right, let's go through here. I'll go division by division. I've been to
Which ones haven't you? Is that a shorter list?
No, I'm way under half still at this point. I've been around Yankee Stadium. I didn't get to go in because it was like March or something like that. I've been to the Trop for the East-West Shrine Game, which is football. So I don't know if that really counts.
Still counts.
Been to Toronto. Been to Baltimore. Obviously Detroit. Been to Progressive in Cleveland. That one, that's an underrated ballpark. I actually enjoyed that one.
I should get there. I mean, it's not that crazy far.
No. You are right on top of the bullpen, which I know appeals to pitching nerds like me more than most. But I really enjoyed that. And honestly, that's where I fell in love with Drew Verhagen, watching him warm up in the bullpen and just watching all of, you know, what his pitches did. So you can mark that down as the fateful day. I've been to Guaranteed Rate Field, which is a dump. You can quote me on that one. Been to the two Texas ballparks, Houston and Texas. Houston's ballpark is awesome. Get to Minute Maid if you can. I don't know that I've been to as many NL parks. Been to the Nationals park. Been to the Cubs, obviously. Been to St. Louis. I've been to a lot of places, it seems like. Pittsburgh. You're a traveler. I think that's it. I don't think I've been anywhere in the NL West.
I do really want to get to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is awesome. If you can get yourself to Pittsburgh, definitely do it. That one was awesome. Then that takes us to the end of Twitter question. Oh, one more thing. The Wrigley Tour. I don't know. Did we discuss this? The Wrigley Tour.
A little bit. You did. Yeah.
Was awesome. It was history. Like, you got to do a ton of stuff. You got to see everything. Highly, highly recommend the Wrigley Tour. It's not that far from Michigan, obviously. So if you can, do it. All right. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, it's been a fun evening. Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
No.
All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.